extra soup. But that did not last long. A fortnight later, all the Poles were transferred to another camp. I had lost my crown for nothing.
Eli and his father are suffering so much in the concentration camp that it's making them do things they never would have done back home in Sieget. Edik, the capo in charge of the electrical warehouse, picks on Eli's father because he's too weak to fight back. As Eli watches Edik hitting his father with an iron bar, he realizes it's not Edik he's angry at. It's his father for getting himself in trouble and letting himself be hurt like this. Eli wonders what has become of himself, that he would turn his anger on his own father. Later, Eli tries to teach his father to march so that Franjek, the guy who's in charge at the warehouse, will stop hitting him. The marching lessons are humiliating and bizarre. Can you imagine the old, studious Eli and his dignified father doing something like this? The two of them make such a crazy picture that other prisoners begin to laugh at them. And in the end, the lessons don't work, and Eli is forced to give up his gold tooth and a ration of bread to save his father from further beatings. Let's continue reading after the space on page 54 with "A few days before the Poles left."
A few days before the Poles left, I had a new experience. It was Sunday morning. Our unit did not need to go to work that day, but all the same, Edek would not hear of our staying in the camp. We had to go to the warehouse. This sudden enthusiasm for work left us stunned. At the warehouse, Edek handed us over to Franek, saying, "Do what you like, but do something. If not, you'll hear from me." And he disappeared. We did not know what to do. Tired of squatting down, we each in turn went for a walk through the warehouse, looking for a bit of bread some civilian might have left behind. When I came to the back of the building, I heard a noise coming from a little room next door. I went up and saw Edek with a young Polish girl, half naked on a mattress. Then I understood why Edek had refused to let us stay in the camp. Moving 100 prisoners so that he could lie with a girl, it struck me as so funny that I burst out laughing. Edek leapt up, turned around, and saw me while the girl tried to cover up her breasts. I wanted to run away, but my legs were glued to the ground. Edek seized me by the throat. Speaking in a low voice, he said, "You wait and see, kid. You'll soon find out what leaving your work's gonna cost you. You're gonna pay for this pretty soon. And now, go back to your place." Half an hour before work usually ended, the capo collected together the whole unit. Roll call. Nobody knew.